Hello, citizens. As you may know, our respected and beloved Supreme Counselor, Momus, has done this debate the signal honor of the Green Belt participants. So it falls to my lot to be your chairman for the evening. Before we begin, may I welcome on behalf of you all William Service of the Planet Earth, who will be viewing the proceedings as an interested, disinterested observer. The motion before you tonight is that the annual quest is dangerous, foolhardy, and utterly pointless, and should be abandoned as from this instant. I call upon Councillor Momus to demolish the motion.
Doesn't the proposer speak first?
As the challenger party, Momus has the right to choose.
Oh, I see.
Are you ready, Maestro?
Ready, Councillor.
After four, then.
One, two, three, four.
My friends, people of Nada, let us examine this motion as though it were a machine, better to see what flaw we can find therein. The quest is dangerous. My friends, what can I say? The quest is dangerous, but tell me, how would our friends have our young men test and refine their skill and strength and courage? You cannot temper without heat. You cannot purify without fire. We do not deny the danger of the quest. We glory in it. The quest is foolhardy. There are and always will be timid souls to whom courage is foolhardy. I know of such people, and I pity them. But I say this, that it is this folly that lifts man above the beast of the field and sets him on the mountain top where he belongs. If the desire to excel is folly, then I, for one, am glad to be a fool. The quest is pointless. My friends, again, what can I say? For those to whom the quest has no point, it is indeed pointless. For those to whom courage has no meaning, courage is meaningless. For those to whom excellence has no meaning, excellence is meaningless. And to those poor lost souls to whom honor has no meaning, honor itself is meaningless. But my friends, to those of us to whom courage, excellence, honor are the very watchwords of existence, there is no need to ask the point of the quest. The quest is its own point, its own meaning. It has been immutable, eternal for 1,000 years. Let it stand for 1,000 more. Thank you, my friend, Maestro.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Billy, what do you think?
Well, it was pretty uplifting, I guess, sir. But the music made it a little hard to think.
Oh, these are important issues, Billy. Honor, courage, nobility. Gut reactions, my boy. Thinking has nothing to do with it.
Except I can see where the guy with the best music could win the debate.
Well, of course. It proves that he has the greater moral inspiration.
Oh, right.
Hebra, I call upon you to defend the motion. And the best of luck.
People of Nada, let me speak to you of the things that really matter. Not of harsh, empty pride in that cruel, destructive honor that carries within it the seeds of its own dishonor. Let me speak to you of truth and love and beauty. Maestro, if you please.
Mm-hmm. One, two, three.
Let me speak to you of work. Not the violent expenditure of energy in a senseless pursuit of a meaningless ideal, but work with a purpose, a meaning. So that it enriches your fellow man, even as it ennobles you. So that at the end of the day, a man may look back and say, I made this. This will endure. Let me speak to you of beauty. The beauty of purple leaves drifting across the face of the water, as the three orange suns sink slowly in a green sky. The beauty of the call of the Mojack as he wins his way homeward, echoed by the plaintive sound of a flute in a distant room. Let me speak of the warmth, the gentleness, the almost unendurable loveliness of woman. Let me speak of love. The love of friend for friend, of a father for his child, of a husband for his mate. And you would risk all this. Would you throw away all this in the vicious, insane pursuit of nothing at all?
You've missed the point, Seabro.
Yes, well, they don't seem to think so.
You've missed the point. Nobody's denying the value of such things. Nobody wants to take them away from you. We simply say there's more to life than that.
What you can see, what you can touch, nothing else.
For you, perhaps. Others of us can see beyond the ends of our noses. We simply wish to be allowed to follow where our own vision leads. But the quest, after all, is voluntary.
Voluntary? When every man who doesn't participate is made to feel a coward and a freak?
If that's what he feels, doubtless there's good reason for it.
Very well, then.
I appeal to the stranger.
What do you mean?
Well, as you say, we are fortunate to have a disinterested observer. Unbiased, unprejudiced, unconditioned. I merely wish to ask his opinion.
It's completely without prejudice.
Well, naturally, since you've never had it before.
Moments?
I have no objection.
Very well. Billy, I'm sorry to put you in a difficult position, but Seabrook has been a choice. Would you be kind enough to give us your opinion on the validity of the quest?
Well, sir, I certainly was deeply moved by by Counselor Momus's speech. Where I come from, we believe in those things, too. Honor, courage, the pursuit of excellence. I guess we think that without these things, a man isn't much of a man. But I have to say this, sir. We also believe that these qualities should be put to a useful and productive purpose, to the attainment of some worthwhile and meaningful goal, not just a pile of shit.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to request a brief veto.
Grant.
On what grounds?
On the grounds that the unprecedented calling of our honored guest to act as arbitrator requires that I be given time to adjust my arguments to new circumstances.
Exactly.
But you didn't object.
Exactly. So naturally, I expect you to extend me the same courtesy.
You're going to tamper with the witness.
Nonsense. Anyway, he's not a witness, he's a judge. Judges can't be tampered with. This debate is adjourned for...
3 hours.
For 3 hours. Oh. Well, I don't think we...
I feel really terrible about it, sir. But what could I do?
Nothing. You were in an intolerable position. You had to tell the truth as you saw it.
Well, that's the way I felt, sir.
Now, put it out of your mind for a moment. That's why we've come here, to the Hall of Science, so I can give you a conducted tour of some of our more interesting exhibits while Momus is rethinking his case.
Well, I don't want to seem difficult, sir, but I guess he's never going to convince me.
Well, we shall have to see. Right then, Billy. Tell me, do you have anything like this on your planet?
What is it? An electric chair?
It's powered by electricity, yes. This, Billy, is a cerebral purifier, more popularly known as the think box. You know how sometimes all your thoughts get jumbled up in your head, so that if you try to make a decision, choose a course of action, your brain actually hurts.
I feel a bit like that right now.
Exactly. Well, this machine simply untangles your thoughts. Separates them, rearranges them in the proper order so that you can see clearly again.
A kind of a cross between a psychiatrist and an aspirin.
Exactly. Well, why don't you give it a try? It's in working order.
I guess I'd really rather not.
Oh, well, if the idea makes you nervous.
No, it's not a question of being nervous. Hell, why not?
That's the spirit.
Well, what do I have to do?
Hey, you just sit down. That's right. Then, adjust the helmet over your head, like this. It's not too tight, is it?
No, that's
good.
Fine.
Now, place the palms of your hands on the discs at the end of the chair arm.
Now what happens?
You just close your eyes and relax. That's it. I'm going to switch on now.
Hey!
It's all right, Billy. Just relax.
Is he under?
Mummers, I'm not at all happy about all this.
You said yourself, it's a very pleasant experience.
I don't approve of tampering with people's minds.
There's no question of tampering. You saw yourself how he reacted when you suggested he was afraid to go into terrifying.
By instinct
and by conditioning, he's 95% there already. That's why I was prepared to let him speak in the debate. Unfortunately, I had underestimated the time it would take him to adjust his frame of reference. All we're going to do is speed up his natural process.
Mm. How far back do you want him to go?
7, I think. Always a useful age.
All right. Billy, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Billy, I'm going to take you back until you're 7 years old. You understand me?
I understand.
Right. Off you go, then. It'll take about a minute. I'm still not happy.
Robeck.
Well, after all, the boy's perfectly right.
My dear Robeck, if you can come up with an alternative scheme less risky, more useful, but equally effective at canalizing the aggressive impulses of Macho and his ilk so that they don't turn around and start tearing the rest of us apart, no one will be more delighted than I. In the meantime, we'll make do with what we have.
Ah, he's there.
Right. I'll take over now. Billy, can you hear me?
I hear you.
How old are you?
Well, I'll be 8 in the fall.
8? My goodness me. And what are you doing now?
I'm coming home from school. You know what? Today I was graded 2nd. 2nd out of 37 kids.
Well done, Billy.
Dad'll be real proud.
Go on.
Dad! Dad!
What is it, son?
I came 2nd. 2nd in the whole class.
Now listen to me, Billy.
Oh, be gentle with him, my dear.
Eunice, a boy has to learn. They came 2nd, did you, Billy?
Yes, Dad.
And that makes you proud, does it?
I beat 35 kids.
Now, Billy, listen to me. In this lot, there are only 2 places you can come. 1st and nowhere, nowhere. 2nd or 32nd, it makes no difference.
And Miss Hubble said I did real well.
I don't care what Miss Hubble said. I'm telling you, what matters isn't doing well. What matters is doing better.
Oh, but, Dad...
Now, don't argue with me, son. Next week, I want you to come marching through that door and tell me you came 1st. Then I'll be proud of you. You understand me, Billy?
Yes, sir. Let's move on a bit. Take him to 16.
All right. Billy, now you're 16. 16 years old. How old are you?
16, sir.
And what are you doing?
Well, I'm on the phone. Mary Ellen Mott. She's my girl. Mary Ellen? Mary Ellen, is that you?
Oh, hi, Billy.
Mary Ellen... I didn't make the team.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
You heard? How did you hear?
I don't know. Somebody told me.
Biff Evans. Did he tell you?
I don't remember. Maybe.
I feel really low, you know, Mary Ellen. I really thought I'd make the team.
Yeah, so did I. Billy, really, I have to go now. I have work to do.
Oh. Okay, I'll see you tonight, then.
Tonight?
Well, we're going to the movies.
Billy, really, I can't go out tonight.
Why not?
I told you. I have to work. I have bad grades.
You never cared about your grades before.
That's why they're so bad.
Mary Ellen, I really need to see you tonight. I really need to talk to you tonight.
Billy, I can't. I'll see you in school tomorrow, okay?
I guess so. Biff Evans. She's going out with Biff Evans. He made the team, son of a bitch. Templar, there's hardly anything for us to do.
Brenner?
A year ago, just after he left Earth.
All right. Billy? I'm bringing you forward to exactly 1 year ago. You're in your spacecraft. You've just left Earth. You can see it slowly receding behind you, ahead of you a black sea of stars. How do you feel?
Happy. Really happy.
Why are you so happy?
Well, I guess because I've been picked out of everybody on Earth. Because I've been chosen for the big one.
They must all be very proud of you, Billy.
Bet your ass.
Everyone?
Sure.
Everyone? Come on now, Billy. Isn't there anyone who thinks that what you're doing is a waste of time?
Oh, them. Yeah.
What sort of people are they?
Oh, you know. Deadbeats. No hopers.
What do they say, exactly?
Oh, you know. That it's a waste of money.
Don't you think they might have a point?
Are you kidding?
Well, what is the use of what you're doing?
What's the use? I'm increasing the sum of human knowledge.
Knowledge? People have managed perfectly well for centuries without knowing what lies on the other side of the stars.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of spin-offs, you know.
Spin-offs?
Well, things we find out by accident while we're researching the space program.
telecommunications, medicine, new forms of nutrition.
Don't you think it might be better to spend all the money on those things?
Say, what is it with you anyway?
Billy, I simply want to know the point of what you're doing.
Well, the point is to go. That's the point. For America to be first and for you to be the first American. To do something that nobody's ever done. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
In other words, it's not the goal that matters, it's the quest. The quest is its own justification, isn't that right, Billy?
I guess so.
Whether the end result is the furthest star or pile of animal droppings. What matters is the quest.
Right. It's the quest that matters.
Right.
Right.
All right. You can switch off now.
It'll take him a minute or so to come around. Do you think that'll be enough?
I should have thought so. As I say, no basic reconditioning was necessary. Merely a question of helping him adjust his frame of reference. Still, just to be on the safe side, I have added one more factor.
Mm-hmm.
In the next room.
Billy, hello.
Oh, hello, Vida. What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you.
Well, that's great. But the thing is, I have to get back to the debate.
Billy, you will be taking part in the quest, won't you?
Taking part? Well, I don't know if they'd actually let me.
Oh, do, Billy, please. You can win. I know you can. Billy, if you won, you would give me the prize, wouldn't you?
You know I would.
Oh, Billy.
Lubita, tell me something.
Anything.
Well, I hear that they make this stuff into a kind of body paint, you know. And I guess Macho must have given you the prize every time he'd won, only I don't see any paint.
Well, you can't see it, Billy. Or rather, you can if you want to. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
You don't think it looks silly? Only having enough for one.
Oh, my God. Lupita.
Billy, I'd so like a matching pair. You could put it on yourself with your own hands.
Oh, Lupita. Oh, my God.
Ah, Billy! We were getting worried about you.
Sorry, sir. I got hung up for a couple of minutes.
Oh, it's all right, my boy. Come to dine. Citizens of Nader, this debate is once again in session.
Momus, are you ready to produce your new argument?
More than ready, if it proves necessary.
What do you mean if it proves necessary? We've been waiting here for hours.
I merely wondered if, during that time, our young friend had had any second thoughts that might render my humble efforts superfluous.
Why should he? Billy, where have you been these last 3 hours?
Just wandering around the Hall of Science.
You've had him in the think box.
My dear Negro, treating a slur of my personal integrity with the contempt it deserves. May I remind you that it takes at least 2 weeks' intensive cerebral purifying to make so much as a dent in the basic personality. And we've had, what? 3 hours?
All right, then. What do you think, Billy?
About the quest?
Hmm.
Do you think anybody would mind if I went in for it myself?
Billy!
Billy!
The honor would be entirely.
Once again, the day of the quest dawns bright and clear. Once again, nature lifts her sweet head in blessing, and the three sons of the lovely planet Nader smile down warmly upon us. From where I stand atop the council building, I can see the starting line spread out before me like a great green billiard table, with the competitors in their highly coloured costumes moving to and fro like so many, some of the competitors are exercising, tuning up muscles and sinews, bringing their bodies to the point of maximum readiness. Others sit quietly, meditating, concentrating all their mental and emotional energies for the task that lies ahead. Everywhere, there is a sense of eager excitement, of pawing the earth and sniffing the air. If a planet is to be judged by its young manhood, this is another proud day for the lovely planet Nader. And as I turn back and look over my shoulder, I see beneath an eager, laughing, excited crowd coming from every corner of the city to raise a cheer as starting time approaches for the 1,512th Great Quest of Nader.
Minnie? Minnie!
What do you want?
I must talk to you.
Well, I can't stop. I want to watch the start.
Minnie, it's a farce.
Oh, don't start all that again, please.
You've been avoiding me ever since the debate. Why?
Why don't you enter the quest? You might even win, and they'd have to listen to you.
But if I didn't win?
Well, at least you'd have proved you're not a coward.
Anyway, I've been in the quest.
Yes, once.
Oh.
Seabro. Seabro.
And now, the whole field is a surging, milling throng, as relatives and friends move among the competitors, offering them encouragement, urging them on. Mothers embrace their sons, while fathers squeeze their shoulders in a masculinely affectionate fashion. Boys look up at their older brothers with mingled adoration and envy. Wives and sweethearts kiss their departing heroes.
Enough, Peter. Everybody's looking.
I know. Peter just love it.
Now, stop it. I mean it.
You haven't been really funny, haven't you, Matthew?
I'm quite sure you're talking to the right man.
Don't be silly. It's you I want to remember.
I think I should tell you. If I win today, I'm going to announce my engagement to Minnie.
And how long do you think that little pudding is going to keep you from my bed?
Oh, you'll have to be discreet.
Hello. You're Billy, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Rolly.
Well, pleased to meet you, Rolly.
Oh, I must say, you're pretty fit.
Well, I'm in pretty fair shape, I guess.
I'm afraid I'm not really up to this sort of thing. I've not the figure for it, for one thing. Still, often let the side down.
Right.
Well, jolly good luck.
And you.
Oh, I think that lady wants to talk to you.
Oh, Libida. Hi.
Billy, you are going to win for me today, aren't you?
Well, I'll do my best.
Oh, do more than your best.
Libita, listen. I mean, well, even if I don't win, you don't have to stay with Matthew, do you?
Don't be silly, Billy.
Hello,
Billy. I'd better go.
Here come your sponsors.
What does that woman want?
Well, she was wishing me luck, that's all.
Oh, the nerve of the creature.
Well, I'm sure she has her good points, my dear. Anyway, Billy, we too want to wish you the very best of luck.
We all do.
Well, I guess this is as good a time as any to thank you for all the kindness you've shown me since I got here. Just in case, well, no.
Oh, please, Billy.
You know, I just want to say that I still love my own dad and mom, of course I do, but I don't think I could have found a better pair of substitutes anywhere in the universe.
My God.
What's all that noise? Hmm?
There seems to be something going on over there.
Ladies and gentlemen, a sensation. A surprise last-minute entry. An absolute sensation. You won't believe this. I can hardly believe it myself. The name of the last-minute entry is Sabro. That's right, Sabro. The sworn opponent of the quest. And everything it stands for, the man who only 2 weeks ago, in the very building on which I am standing, debated unsuccessfully with Supreme Council of Momus, a motion proposing his complete abandonment, has at this 11th hour come to his senses and is entering the race. And, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see the warmth and generosity with which the crowd are responding to his decision. Surging around him, shaking his hand, slapping on the back, cheering him. If anything was needed to make this day perfect. Ah, I forgive. Forgive me if my voice is a little choked, ladies and gentlemen, but if there's a more joyful spectacle than a lost Glock returning to the Marge, I don't know what it is. And now, the crowd falls silent. Sabro didn't make his noble act of recantation a moment too soon, for the race is about to start. The 1,512th Great Quest of Nida is about to start. The crowd draws back. The competitors stand motionless, all eyes grimly fixed on the distant horizon over which they will shortly disappear. And they're off! Surging toward the horizon like a huge unstoppable wave, thundering toward the shoreline. And the hearts of those of us who remain behind go with them, urging them on, wishing only too fervently that we could be with them in body as well as in spirit. Old men sort and shuffle through their memories. Young boys dream of the glories to come. And I myself, not for the first time, curse the old knee injury that prevents me making one of that gallant number. Now, they are gone. Only a faint cloud of sinking dust on the horizon shows us the way they have gone. Now we can only follow them in imagination. Day one, the wasteland. A vast, eye-aching expanse of nothingness. Hard, bare earth and broken stone that tear at the feet. Semyon weary, tumbling blindly to bruise and shatter shins and elbows. A harsh, raw wind, eating at damp flesh, picking up the sharp, dry dust, grinding it into eyes and face. No water, except in the far distance, a full day's runaway, a distant, mocking invitation.
Yeah! My ankle! My ankle! I think... broken!
Day two. The jungle. A tangled mass of multicolored vegetation that wraps itself around you in a thick, rubbery embrace, even while it tears at your flesh, the naked cruelty of steel. Above you, the darkness blots out the three suns, while ahead of you beckons an even thicker darkness, a wet, rancid tangle of pain. No longer united, each fights on his own now, alone with his own courage or the lack of it.
I'm going on. I'm going fine. Harder than before. Hurts more.
Day three. The mountain. For a mile and a half, a steep slope of treacherous shale that twists and slides under your feet like a living creature. Over it, on legs weaker than sponge and heavier than concrete, the runners slip and stumble in a lung-ripping daze of agony. Until at last, the final challenge. 500 feet of sheer naked rock that at first glance of sweat-blinded eyes looks as unpeated and smooth as black glass. Only on close inspection can you make out the small fissures, tiny cracks, that might, just might, offer support for blood-caked toes and torn, slippery fingers. Now, they summon up reserves they never dreamed existed in a last desperate gamble for glory. Gleaming dully in the pale sunlight. Journey's end, hero's reward, the crock of gold at the rainbow's end.
Oh my God, it stinks. Well, never mind. There's a bit of smell after what I've been through. Okay, let me go. Bag full.
I'll take that if you don't mind.
Macho.
Come on. Hand it over.
What do you mean? I was here first. I got the prize.
Yes. Now all you have to do is keep it.
That's not fair. Rules.
What rules, little Billy? What you can take, you can have. What you can hold, you can keep. Those are the rules.
Right. Okay. But you gotta catch me first.
Now, the descent. Even deadlier than the climb. Caution is filled to the seven winds in a wild, slithering scramble to maintain advantage.
Billy, help me!
Cipro!
What? Help me! I'm stuck! My fingers are numb!
What do you want me to do?
Your hand! Give me your hand!
I can't stand. You must be right behind
Billy,
me.
Billy, for pity's sake!
I don't know.
Billy, please!
There are only two positions in this life, son. First and nowhere.
I don't know, Dad.
Billy! Billy! What's going?
Cipro! I gotta go. Hang on in there. You'll be okay.
Billy!
You'll be okay!
What I can see. What I can touch. What am I doing here? Ah, Billy! Cipro!
Don't look back, son. Only losers look back.
I hear you, Dad. I hear you.
I can't go out to know Billy. I have a heavy date with Biff Evans. He made the team.
Not tonight, you don't. Tonight, I'm going to make the team.
And now a hush has fallen over the crowd. A tremulous hush of expectancy. A word has come in from our forward observers that two lone competitors have appeared in the distance. One, a slight, almost frail figure, staggering under the weight of the precious burden he carries. The other, a larger man, slowly closing on him, slowly narrowing the gap between them. Who he is, we still don't know. The crowd stand rigid, straining their eyes. Yes, yes, it's true. We can see them now, lurching over the horizon. The winner of the 1,512th Great Crest of Nader is moving toward us, pursued by a tall, gallant figure who still doesn't realize he's victim. And no wonder, because even at this distance I recognize the imposing figure of three-time champion, the once-invincible Macho. I still can't make out who the other figure is. His clothes are in shreds. He's covered with sweat and blood. It's true, it's true! The winner of this year's quest is none other than our visitor from space, hero extraordinary, William the Mate, the service of the planet Earth.
My boy! Oh, my boy, I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud. You're proud, sir.
Billy, what about...
I'm sorry, Minnie.
Oh, no.
Minnie, he had some funny ideas, but at the end he was a real man. I guess he'd have wanted you to know that.
Thank you, Billy. That's a comfort.
Minnie, now that you're alone...
What about me, Billy? Don't forget me.
No one's likely to forget you, bitch.
Billy... Come with me. The crowd want to see you on the victor's podium.
I came first. Mom, Dad, Mary Ellen, I came first!
William Makepeace Service is alive and well and has won the Great Quest of Nader. That was the almost unbelievable message, carved presumably by an alien hand in the side of the mysterious capsule that arrived from across the galaxies 3.5 days ago. Friends, we can only guess at the true significance of those words. We cannot know what became of William Makepeace Service from that moment 5 years ago when we heard his voice for the last time. We can only guess at the nature and location of the planet Nader. And only in the deeper recesses of our imagination can we begin to conjecture the meaning of the great quest, to picture the nature and quality of the victory he has achieved, far from home, among an unknown race, on an unknown shore. But my friends, what we can say is this. We are not surprised. We may not know the facts, but we know the man. We know the forces that shape him. We know that deep within him burns that determination to strive, to overcome, to excel and achieve, that illuminates the human spirit from one end of the earth to the other. We may not know the nature of his goal, but we can understand his striving for it. For in the end, are not all goals the same? Whatever was waiting for William Makepeace Service at the end of his quest, rest assured, it is something for which we all are seeking.
In Frame of Deference by Rod Beecham, Billy was played by Stuart Milligan, the narrator, Rod Beecham, Mama, Catherine Parr, and Libida, Alex Marshall. Macho, Andrew Seacombe, Zebro, Stephen Garlick, Minnie, Patience Tomlinson, and Robeck, Alexander John. Momus, Ellis Dale, Ortho and the commentator, Stanley Page, Lolly, David McAllister, Mary Ellen, Rosalind Adams, and Mission Control, Alan Dudley and Crawford Logan. Technical assistance was by David Greenwood, and the play was directed by Peter King.